Father God, we bow before you this morning to thank you for the privilege to be in your house once again. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us, for your Son Jesus, for the gift of eternal life through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, who lives within us and brings us into the light of the truth of your word. So, Father, I ask this morning that you'll bless your word into our hearts, that you will allow us to see the truth, the strength, the enlightenment, the protection, and your blessings upon us as we study your word together. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. If you will, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. The last, 4 weeks now, I guess I've been talking about learning to trust God, learning to trust God, learning to take Him at His Word, learning to walk with Him, learning to lean upon Him, knowing that He's going to use what the gifts that He's given us already in serving Him. He's going to enable those gifts, and that we are to learn more about Him. And the more that we know about Him, the more we're going to trust Him. I mean, that's just the way it is. The more you know someone, the more you know about them, the more you know the intricacies of their life, then you understand that there is a relationship, there's a trust that is built therein. So, I'm going to change speeds just a little bit. You know, for a couple of weeks, we left them in the hole in the ground over there next to the Red Sea. Last Sunday, we brought them to the Red Sea, but we're going to stop right there for just this week anyway. And we're going to Jeremiah to see a principle that God has laid down for us that will enable us to be prepared for things in life in a better way. Jeremiah chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 through 5. And the subject that I have on my mind this morning is concerning trusting God and learning to trust God. But it's in the form of a question. The subject that I have is, can you run with the horses? Can you run with the horses? And I pray that God will bless me to be able to share with you the thought that I have concerning that question. Can you run with the horses? You know, in my mind, first thing I think about horses is the old cowboy movies. You know, when Gene Autry would be on his horse, or Roy Rogers on Trigger, and they were just going full speed, and all the hair was blowing, the mane was blowing, and the freedom that is there. That's not the running I got on mind this morning. I'm sorry. That's not where I'm going with this. It's a little bit, it's quite a bit different from that. But I pray that the Lord will bless this into our hearts as a great lesson. Jeremiah chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet, let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Have you ever thought that? Farther along we'll understand it. In that song it talks about us wandering. Why do the wicked prosper all the day long? Never molested by all that they do wrong. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You ever thought that? I have. I'm honest with you. I've thought that. How can they get away with that? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Lord, you know me. I know you. You know me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Wipe them off the face of the earth. That's what he's saying. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. That's Jeremiah talking. Now God's going to answer him. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they've wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we think about how do we contend with, how do we deal with, how do we get by when it seems like the weight of the world is on our shoulders, when it seems like that everything that possibly could be is just running down and heaping down upon us and almost causing our knees to just fall to the ground. Jeremiah brings out some good points here. I'm not going to deny that. It may not be completely valid, but that's how we think. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning. If you always see things perfectly and never question or never have any wonders or any doubts as to why things are happening, when they're happening, the way that they're happening, and how are they getting by with it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand up because I'm sorry, I wouldn't be able to raise my hand with you. I do have questions. I do wonder. But Jeremiah does begin it in the right way when he says, Lord, righteous. Righteous art thou, O Lord. Lord, you're right. We can agree on that point, can't we? God is always right. Whether that I understand it or not, whether that I go along with it or not, I'm being honest with you. But God is right. I'm wrong. And I have to come to that point of understanding that if I can come to that place of saying, whatever takes place in my life, God doesn't make mistakes. I'll never forget when I was here before and I had gone to the Providence Nursing Home and was doing my rounds there, and I always loved it because every time I'd go, they'd tell me, ask me to go see somebody different. And that particular day, there was a lady, I can't remember her name, but she had just received word that her son had passed away. And she was hurting. She was hurting. She, rightfully so. I mean, I pray that I never have to go through that, but I understand that she was hurting. So I went and I sat down and we began to talk and we began to talk. And before long, she came around to the point of saying, I know God doesn't make mistakes. Whew. Now that's a lesson that's hard to learn. God does not make mistakes. And it's what Jeremiah starts out is, Lord, I know you're right. I know you're right in everything that you do. And if it stopped right there, that would be wonderful. But he didn't stop there. He said, and I'm laughing with him, not at him. He says, Lord, you do everything right. But let me talk to you for just a minute, Lord. Let me share with you what I think. Let me share with you how I feel. Let me share with you the things that though you're right, but just give me a few minutes and just let me talk with you. Not just let me talk with you. Let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Lord, let me talk to you about these decisions that you've made. Let me talk to you about the things that aren't in line with my thinking. Let me talk with you about things that this is the way it was supposed to be, but this is the way you're taking me. Let me just talk with you about that, Lord. Let me just... And of course, God already knew, didn't He? But He lets us come to Him and He lets us pour out our hearts before Him. So He said, just let me talk with you about your judgments. Okay, to find out what those judgments are, go back with me to chapter 10. And for some reason, my mouth is cotton this morning. So if I start mumbling, you just kind of listen a little bit harder to me. Chapter 10, starting with verse 23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I love the old gospel song. Charles Johnson and the revivalists sang it, and I was blessed to be able to sing it a few times when I was with the quartet. And it says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high, the valley's too low. Can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. I know that sometimes you let us think that we're doing our own thing. But Lord, I also know that your hand is guiding, your hand is leading, your hand is protecting. I know that. I know that it's not in myself to be able to direct my steps. In fact, in the Psalms it says that the Lord orders the steps of a righteous man. When we do something that's right, I say when we do something that's right, it isn't because that we decided within ourselves that that was the right thing to do. God ordered that step. And sometimes in ordering our steps, sometimes He lets us take a little sidestep. Or sometimes He lets us trip. Just so we can learn to trust Him that He's going to reach down and pick us up and carry us on the right way. And Lord, I know. Remember, He's just a few verses after this, He says, now I want to talk to you about your judgment. But Lord, I know that man can't do this. I know it's not in man to do what's right. That is you. So, verse 24, He says, oh Lord, correct me. Now notice this. Lord, correct me with judgment. You think Jeremiah may have been just a little fickle? I am. Lord, correct me with your judgments. But then, again, just a few minutes or however long it took him to write those next verses. Lord, let me talk about your judgments for just a minute. Correct me with your judgment, but wait just a second. Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not. In other words, Lord, let me talk to you about how you deal with me, but also let me talk to you about how you should deal with them. Be gentle with me. Have no mercy on them. That's exactly what he's saying. You and I are blessed even beyond Jeremiah. You say, well, Jeremiah wrote, 52 chapters in this letter, this book that he wrote. Surely he was a blessed man. And yes, he was. He was a blessed man, but he was a man. And in the Old Testament, though they had some foresight as to what God was going to do, Jeremiah did not, and though he even wrote about the things that Jesus would endure, he still did not know the fullness of what was going to take place when the Son of God came to this earth. He did not know the fullness that the Son of God would come to this earth, walk among people that were such a contradiction to Him, because He was perfect when He walked on the earth. He's still perfect now. He was perfect, but He walked among sinners. He walked and He endured a contradiction against Himself day after day after day after day, even ultimately to the point where that those same sinners condemned Jesus, the righteous one, to death. But again, that was all God's plan. God ordered, God directed even the steps of His Son when He came to this earth. Because He came ultimately for one reason. Now there are offshoots from that. We have His example that Peter wrote about. We have His teachings that Peter wrote about. We have His healings that were written about in the four accounts of the gospel. We have all those offshoots of what Jesus did when He was on the face of the earth. But He came ultimately for one reason and only one reason. And that was that the fury that Jeremiah is writing about, the anger that Jeremiah is writing about, would be poured out upon Jesus instead of you and me. For if the fury and anger of God was poured out upon us, we would be consigned to an eternal burning hell. That's what we deserve. So be careful never to say, I want what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. Brother Billy tells me that every time I talk to him on the phone. I don't want what I deserve. I want God's mercy. I want God's grace. So Jeremiah is saying, pour out, don't judge me in anger. but pour out your fury upon them, when in reality that fury was poured out, and that fury was poured out upon Jesus. So you and I are blessed even above Jeremiah. Peter, in his first chapter of 1 Peter, he says that the prophets desire to look into those things that you and I understand by the Spirit of God. They desired, even though they wrote about Him, they still desire to know, what is this that I'm writing about? Who is this that I'm writing about? What is it that He's is going to accomplish? But here Jeremiah is saying, you know, judge me with mercy, but you don't have to use mercy on them. They've eaten up, verse 25, they've eaten up Jacob, they devoured him, they consumed him, they made his habitation desolate. Chapter 11, going quicklier, that's a Steve-ism there, going quicklier with this, I still do that. Cursed be the man, verse 3, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. That's God speaking now through Jeremiah. Hear the words of this covenant. Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words. I'm just picking up phrases. Verse 4, he said, obey my voice and do them. Obey my voice. Hear my voice. Listen to my voice. Heed my voice. Obey my voice. Do what I tell you to do. So shall you be my people, and I'll be your God. That's in an open, manifest way. Works will not get us to heaven. That's the blood of Jesus. But he says, when you obey my voice, when you do what I tell you to do, then I'm going to openly show that you're mine and I'm yours. Do what I tell you to do. So shall you be my people, and I'll be your God. Verse 5, that I may perform the oath which I've sworn unto your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. So he said, and that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy when Moses was giving them those last minute instructions before that he died. So it was, listen to God, hear God, follow God, obey God, do God's will. Then answered I and said, in verse 5, so be it. So be it, O Lord. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. The people answered it, we'll do it. We'll do it. Verse 7, again he says, obey my voice. Verse 8 says, but they didn't. Obey my voice, yet they obeyed not. Down to verse 11. Therefore saith the Lord, behold, I'll bring evil upon them. You know, the world will try to preach to us today that, and it is true, God is love. God is love. The Bible tells us specifically, God is love. God is light. There's just a few things that definitely tell us what God is. He's love, He's light. And they say, well God wouldn't do anything as far as some of the droughts and the sicknesses and the diseases that sweep across our nation. God wouldn't do anything like that. And here in verse 9, the Lord says, behold, I will bring evil upon them, and though they shall cry unto me, I'll not hearken unto them. In the Psalms, it says, your sins have separated between you and your God. So he says, in that situation where they're not listening, they're not obeying, I'll bring evil upon them. And though they cry unto me, I'll not hearken to them. Verse 12, then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods, that's a little g, unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. What can an idol made with man's hands, what can that do to deliver anything? Anything. Nothing. It can't do anything. He says, but then at that point, they'll go cry. Well, where were those gods? Verse 13, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have they set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. God saw and understood that in the city of Jerusalem, which had contained millions of people in that city, it was a big city, and every street, said every street, they set up idols. Every street, they set up altars. Everywhere they would go, they were influenced by the idols and the altars of gods of other nations that had been allowed to be brought in. And so as they were influenced by that, you know they had to be affected by it. You know they had to be affected by it. I think I've shared this with you before, but sometimes our minds become so accustomed to the darkness that we don't even recognize darkness around us. Many years ago, when we were in Tifton, Judy worked for two lawyers. And one day they were talking about a particular movie that they had gone to see. This is number 14 because I know I've told you before. But they were talking about a particular movie that they had both gone to see. And so, you know, Judy was thinking, well, we could take the children. Maybe we could take the children to that movie. So she asked them. And they were deacons in their church. Not that that made a difference, but they were deacons in their church. And she asked them, were there any cuss words in that movie? And they both looked at each other. And they both had a puzzled look. And they said, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there were or not. You see, we become so accustomed. Things that we hear on and see on television every day, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have seen it. I can go into details, and one day I will, but I'm running out of time. We see things every day, and sometimes they pass us by. We don't even notice it. We don't even notice it. They were affected by those to the point that they had turned away from God. Now, is there a remedy for that? Yes, there is. There is a remedy. And usually every year about the 4th of July, we hear people saying this. And if you're on Facebook, you see people posting it just all over the place. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. God said, if... There's a condition there, right? If my people, it's not the heathen that's going to change this world. It's not the heathen that's going to change our nation. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, you see, there's an if and a then. If we do that, then, God said, then I will hear their prayers. Let me just make sure I get this right. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I say every year around the 4th of July, you just see it. We're bombarded with that verse of Scripture. And that's not a bad thing, except if all we see is we read it, but we don't heed it. He said, if you hear my words and you obey my words. So if I stand up here every 4th of July and I say, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God will hear and God will heal and God will forgive. And then I walk out there and I go right back to everything else I've been doing beforehand. That speaking that verse of Scripture isn't enough. It's doing it. And until our nation does that, not just speaks it, but does it, I'm not sure that we can expect any better. We might question God. We might say, well, God, why are you allowing things to happen in our nation that we've never even seen before? We wouldn't have dreamed of this 20 years ago. He said, well, have you heard my voice? Have you obeyed my voice? So anyway, going back to my text, I went so too far with that maybe, but maybe not. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, let me talk to you about your judgments. Let me talk to you about the decisions that you're making. Because you're saying, this is a prophecy of the coming destruction of Jerusalem in the Old Testament. It happened again in 70 AD, but this was the first time when the Babylonians came in and carried them away. God's been prophesying through Jeremiah, this is what's going to happen. If you don't turn back to me, this is what's going to happen. You're going to lose your land, the land that I promised you, if you obey my voice. That you'll enjoy it, but you're going to lose it. I'm going to allow these to come in and carry you off. So Jeremiah, he's complaining about that. He's complaining. Why are you letting this happen? Let me talk to you about your judgments just for a little while. And God listens to him. But then in verse 5, he said, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee. I want to tie in the children of Israel that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. Remember, they've been brought out of the pit. They've been brought out of bondage. They went taken down into the pit. They were left there for a while. Now they've been brought out of that. And when they look at that, when they come out of that, they look back, and here comes Pharaoh and his army. And now the first thing that is coming are the footmen, the foot soldiers. And he said, if you are wearied, if you're discouraged by the foot soldiers, what are you going to do when the horses come? What are you going to do when the chariots come? What are you going to do when he brings out the big guns? So there are times when we have little discouragements in life. There are times that I'll just call them inconveniences, a leaky faucet, the commode keeps running, water in the basement. These things that are minor inconveniences in the whole scheme of life. And if those things bother me to the point that I just don't know what to do, God says, what are you going to do when Satan brings out the big gun? What are you going to do when the horses come after you? How are you going to contend with them? How are you going to deal with them? So, to tie all this in together, before that we can run with the footmen, and before that we can contend with the horses, we have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to trust His judgments. We have to learn that, yes, He does answer prayers, every prayer. There's a yes, there's a no, and there's a not now. But it's still an answer. Parents, when your children came and said, can we do this? You say, well, yes, that's all right. Sometimes you said no, and that's a viable answer, right? And then other times you say, well, not right now. Not right now. When you're ready for it, then you can do that. So we have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to trust Him. And even when we don't understand why others are prospering, when it seems like that the world is coming at us, we have to learn to trust God, to say, Lord, You're right. You're righteous. How can we contend with them? And then he goes on to say, how can you deal with the swelling of Jordan? And the answer is, are you ready for this? The answer is only with God's help. Only with God's help can we deal with anything that comes against us. How do you deal with the flood of Jordan? Well, I went back first to how do you deal with the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other? Remember, I know last Sunday I left you with the thought that Moses said, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle's not yours. God's going to show you His glory and His power and His majesty in dealing with this. And as soon as Moses said that to the people, God said, as soon as Moses said, God said, why are you crying to me? Go forward. Why are you stopping here? Go forward. And he said to Moses, hold out your staff. And when he held out his staff, the waters parted. And as they were walking across on dry land, can you imagine what's going through their minds? Talking with a friend this morning about how they must have felt. And she said, if I had my little kids with me, I'd say, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Hurry up, get across. The water might come back in any time now. Others may be just taking their time and looking at the water and seeing the fish peering out at them and them looking at the fish and just enjoying the stroll as they went across. But they had to go forward when God said go. How did Joshua deal with the swollen Jordan River when it was out of its banks? He listened to God. God said, you have the priests carry the ark and let them step into the water. And when they step into the water, it says that they stood on firm ground because they were holding the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, that which represented all the promises of God. Inside that ark, there was Aaron's staff that budded, which showed God's power. There was the pot of manna, which showed God's provision. There were the tablets, the tables of the law that were in there that showed God's authority. And so when we go forward, standing upon firm ground, which is God's authority, His power, and His provision, then He makes a way. The waters stood, they congealed and stood up on a heap, and they walked across on firm ground. I heard someone this week talk about trusting God, and he made this statement. Trusting God without moving forward is not faith. If you want to write that down, you can, because I sure did. Trusting God without moving forward is not faith. James, I used this a week or two ago. James said, you tell me about your faith, I'll show you my faith. By stepping forward, going forward. How did Jesus deal with his footmen? How did Jesus deal with his horses that came along? How did he deal with his flood of Jordan? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As he was hung on the cross and they were passing by, mocking him, throwing insults at him, spitting on him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. But then he said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Father, I trust you. I trust you. Paul tells us that if we have the Spirit of Jesus that raised up Jesus from the dead, then we have everything that we need to serve Him in a way that's pleasing and acceptable unto Him. If you'll excuse me for just a moment, to our friends on Facebook, I want to say thank you for coming in today and for sharing this time with us, and pray that you have a blessed and wonderful and holy day. Bless you.